The Truth News Network. Explaining the truth for those weaned on propaganda. From Rio Linda to Singapore, Fredericksburg to Maui, this is TNN,
the Truth News Network.
And class is now in session. Here's your professor, Dan Newman.
Hey, can I exercise a little executive privilege here myself? Why don't we terminate this class today and reconvene tomorrow morning on the beaches in Wailea, Maui, Hawaii? Could you imagine that? It'd be great to have this conversation with you there. Hey, everybody, welcome to Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman. I'm really glad you joined me here today. You heard me use the term executive privilege. That's what we're discussing. This was released on Monday of this week from The Hill. A district judge on Monday upheld a subpoena issued by the House Oversight and Reform Committee for President Trump's financial records, dealing a blow to White House efforts to resist the Democrats' investigations. In a 41-page opinion, Judge Amit Mehta, an Obama appointee, found that the panel, under the leadership of Chairman Elijah Cummings, Democrat of Maryland, had valid reasons for requesting the president's financial records from the accounting firm Mazars, even though they predated his entering office. These are factually valid legislative purposes, and it is not for the court to question whether the committee's actions are truly motivated by political considerations. That's what Judge Mehta wrote. The judge was skeptical of the arguments brought forward by the president's attorneys both in court last week and in his opinion issued on Monday. Trump's attorneys had argued that the subpoena issued by Cummings earlier this year was unconstitutional because it wasn't tied directly to legislation. But attorneys for the House said that the records will help strengthen ethics and disclosure laws and see if Trump is in compliance with the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. Now let's get this straight. The basis for this judge's ruling was reasonable because the committee's request for Trump's financial records was, quote, to see if Trump is in compliance with the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. Americans should be horrified. There is no evidence of a crime. There's no evidence of wrongdoing. There's no justification for even a judge listening to the arguments on the other side because there's no crime, there's no wrongdoing evidence there to even discuss. Judge Mehta in his ruling forgot one thing, a very fundamental thing that is a thread of the very fiber of the U.S. Constitution, probable cause. In his 41-page opinion, Federal District Judge Mehta asserted that Congress has the right to investigate potential illegal behavior by a president, including actions both before and after the president assumed office. Seriously? Americans are to accept this amazing finding by a federal judge as a legal and constitutionally based opinion? Heck no. That ain't going to happen. I'm never going to believe that was not a politically based opinion by a federal judge. And don't forget, he was appointed by Barack Obama. Most Americans, when discovering Congressman Elijah Cummings' subpoena for the president's financial records for a period before he became president and for the period of time he has been in office, will shake their heads in disbelief at this. This committee's action further fans the flame of those who look on in amazement at what Congress is doing to get Donald Trump in the wake of the Mueller report. In our summary below, we'll unpack what Congress is really up to. What President Trump's team is fighting this action is based on executive privilege. What is it? What is executive privilege? In the landmark case of United States versus Nixon, the Supreme Court ruled that it had authority to resolve the conflict between President Nixon and Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox, who had been appointed to investigate the Watergate affair, you'll remember, over the issue of executive privilege. Cox had obtained a grand jury subpoena requiring Nixon to deliver to the district court tape recordings of various meetings with assistants. The Supreme Court acknowledged for the first time that an executive privilege exists under the Constitution, but it qualified the scope of the privilege by subjecting it to a balancing of the opposing interests and legitimate needs of the executive and judicial branches. Courts have applied this general approach in the context of enforcement of congressional subpoenas as well, but there haven't been very many such decisions. And the ones that do exist are drawn to the particular facts of the case at hand. In addition, as articulated in that case, United States versus AT&T, courts will only decide such a case if the executive and legislative branches have tried, in good faith, but failed to reach an accommodation. In good faith is the principle in this argument today that, in my opinion, is not and has not occurred. In good faith. Nobody mentions the House Democrats and the phrase in good faith in the same sentence. That's not happening at all. So while it is settled that the federal courts have jurisdiction to resolve a conflict over a claim of executive privilege in the context of enforcement of a congressional subpoena, there isn't much actual case law that suggests exactly how assertions of executive privilege by the president may ultimately be decided by a court. In addition, the good faith accommodation requirement typically has the effect of lengthening the amount of time it takes for civil enforcement action by Congress to confirm its subpoena power, and in many instances may prevent the practical usefulness of a court decision in a given controversy. We all know the wheels of justice, especially at the federal level, they move very, very, very slowly. Dealing with the White House executive privilege has always created issues and always have been political in nature. The most recent example is President Obama's assertion of executive privilege regarding Operation Fast and Furious. You all know about that. That's a federal gun-running investigation and operations that went wrong. On March 31st, way back in 2011, the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, then was chaired by Republican Representative Daryl Issa of California, it issued a subpoena to the Department of Justice's Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the ATF. The Justice Department responded in writing to the committee a few months later. Now, Eric Holder was then AG. After more back and forth on October 12th of that same year, the committee issued a second subpoena to the department for communications from several top officials, including Attorney General Eric Holder, relating to the operation. The subpoena covered communications from Holder's chief of staff and the head of the department's criminal division. It also requested information regarding relevant departmental communications with the White House and details about the death of a U.S. Border Patrol agent that spurred investigation of the operation in the first place. In June of 2012, now this is about 8 or 9 months after this all began, that long, President Obama invoked executive privilege to deny the committee access to certain documents responsive to the subpoena on the basis that complying would, and I'm quoting here, would raise substantial separation of powers, concerns, and potentially create an imbalance in the relationship between Congress and the White House. I don't get that, folks. The House voted on June 28th of 2012 to hold Holder in contempt, the first such action against a sitting cabinet official in U.S. history. Never before has an attorney general been held in congressional contempt. The committee then brought a complaint to the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia to force disclosure of the documents at issue. The court case was repeatedly delayed by procedural issues and unsuccessful efforts to broker a settlement. It wasn't until, listen to this now, this thing wasn't resolved until January of 2016, that's a full 3.5 years later, that a federal judge rejected Obama's assertion of executive privilege to deny Congress access to those records. And the grounds of that rejection, that under the unique and limited circumstances of this case, we're talking about Fast and Furious, the qualified privilege must yield given the executive's acknowledgement of the legitimacy of the investigation and the fact that the department itself has already publicly revealed the sum and substance of the very material it is now seeking to withhold. The court also found that records reflecting the agency's internal deliberations over how to respond to congressional and media inquiries fall under the protection of the deliberative process privilege. Finally, the court encouraged the parties to start with a fresh slate and resolve the few remaining issues with flexibility and respect. There wasn't a lot of flexibility coming out of the Obama White House. And there sure was very little between the White House and the Republican Congress back then that had flexibility and certainly No respect. Knowing what we know now, and this exhaustive confrontational relationship between the White House and the Democrat-controlled House right now, peaceful resolution of this conflict does not seem inevitable. What is going to happen in this case? Well, we're going to weigh in with some facts, some assumptions that are being made based off of those facts, but I think you're really going to get into what we have to say. Sit tight, that's just around the corner at Truth News Network.
From McAllen, Texas to Berlin, Germany, the universal language is truth on TNN, the Truth News Network.
Dear Daddy, dear Mom,
I love you.
I miss you.
Every year, Snowball Express honors the children of fallen soldiers. Hi, everybody, I'm Tony Orlando. Join me in proudly supporting Snowball Express, a nonprofit that creates opportunities to help heal the children of our fallen heroes. We can never repay the sacrifice our soldiers have made, but we can honor them by giving back to their children. Donate now at snowballexpress.org.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
Taking the time to speak the truth, no matter the cost. Dan Newman, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Hey, I want to mention something right here. If you want to make sure you don't miss one of our stories or podcasts, on the front page of the website, down at the bottom right side, give us your email address and your name. That's all you have to do. You won't get any ads. We don't run any ads. We don't request anything, and we certainly don't give your email address to anyone else. All that will do is guarantee that when we post a new podcast or story overnight, you'll get an email with a link that you can click on and go right to it. You don't have to go looking for it, and you'll never miss a story or a podcast. Again, go to the homepage and get that done. Today, we're talking about executive privilege. It's under fire as President Trump has issued a denial to allow any of his people to answer positively congressional subpoenas to appear in light and in the shadow of the Mueller report that came out and found no evidence of wrongdoing. So what's going to happen in this mess that's going on right now? The same criminal contempt statute that was used by Congress to hold then Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt, it's still in place. It permits Congress to certify a contempt citation to the executive branch for the criminal prosecution of whoever is the principal of that subpoena. But Congress will have a practical problem using this approach if the president does not agree with the action. Administrations of both political parties have decided that U.S. attorneys are not required to refer congressional contempt charges to a grand jury or prosecute an executive branch official who carries out the president's instruction to invoke the president's claim of executive privilege before a committee. That leaves Congress's inherent contempt power, which means relying on the legislature's own constitutional authority to detain and jail a person in contempt until that individual complies with congressional demands. What does that actually look like? Well, it's not very pretty, which is why that process, the criminal contempt process, has not been used by either body since 1935, when a Herbert Hoover administration official was held briefly in the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. While there's no Capitol jail, the Capitol Police do maintain a holding cell a few blocks away from the Capitol at the Capitol Police Department. At the current moment, the prospects of the House sending the sergeant-at-arms of the Capitol to arrest an administration official would likely not sit well with a public that does not favor physical confrontation in U.S. politics. When this process was even mentioned because Attorney General William Barr thumbed his nose at a subpoena to appear before a House committee, I could just envision him. Of course, he 24/7 when he travels, he has armed security guards that are with him. I could see one guy the sergeant-at-arms going to the FBI office, the Department of Justice building, and walking into Attorney General Barr's office and putting him in handcuffs to take him to jail. That would be a little bit different, and I'd tell you what, it would make international news if something like that ever happened. So let's see. Let's look around the landscape of America in our closing. Unemployment. Overall is at record lows. Black, Hispanic, and female unemployment is at record lows. Millions of taxpayers received a federal income tax reduction in 2018 that averaged just over $2,000. That's $2,000 that went straight into their pockets that was being taxed and sent to Washington the previous year. Federal government revenue last year far exceeded any previous year in U.S. history, in spite of those massive tax cuts. That's right. When the government cuts taxes and we put money in our pockets, it reduces the money, our money, that goes in their pockets. There are far more people at work today than ever before in U.S. history. And what is our government doing in the wake of all of these successes? You would think they would be screaming and hollering and applauding the president. This administration has accomplished so many things regarding economics, especially, in just two short years. So what is this Congress doing? Well, it refuses to pass comprehensive immigration reform, refuses to finance measures to close our borders to illegal aliens. Congress refuses to support and or demand federal law enforcement agencies enforce laws that Congress has already passed and this president and previous presidents have signed into law. That's the insanity of this whole thing. Congress passes the laws, and then they don't want the laws that they passed enforced. They refuse to go back to the floor of the House and the Senate and change those laws. Congress pushes for the legalization of third trimester abortions, pushes for two legislative measures that have never worked anywhere on earth, but if they're made law, will cost Americans, listen to this, more than 100% of the entire annual federal government income over the next 10 years. I'm talking about Medicare for All and the new Green Deal, or the Green New Deal. I got to get it right. Congress demanded all stay away from Special Counsel Mueller to guarantee completion of his investigation and his findings on Russia collusion with the Trump campaign. Then Congress now demands the rejection of the Mueller findings because those findings are, quote unquote, incomplete. Congress members are burying members and agencies of this administration with subpoenas, testimony requests, and demand for records that are already in the treasure trove of evidence that this administration and its members voluntarily turned over to Robert Mueller. What else is our government doing for us today? Absolutely nothing. So what is really going on in this fight against the president using executive privilege? What we are watching in D.C. in the House of Representatives is the equivalent of that North Carolina Tar Heel four-corner stall in which the sole purpose then, for North Carolina when they used it, and for this Congress, is to bring the game to a screeching woe. Kill time to run out the clock. The clock that concerns them, the Democrats in the House, is the calendar and how many days and months are left till the 2020 elections. They are desperate with these parlor trips, masking the real reason for this silly measures, praying that something will mysteriously pop up that they can use to legitimately go after Mr. Trump. They're already going after the president, but not legitimately. They're disguising it as saying, we have to make sure this president and all presidents are doing the right things and aren't doing any things that are wrong. Congressman Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, is totally committed to destroying Donald Trump, and his commitment is running far ahead of all reason, legality, and any concerns for the citizens of the United States. On his watch, his committee that he chairs, the House Judiciary Committee, is instead of doing the business of the people, is sending out demand after demand, subpoena after subpoena, daily threatening members of the Trump administration with obstruction charges if they do not comply with his committee's request. This is all after exhaustive compliance with subpoenas for records and testimony by the administration to Robert Mueller over 2 years and $30 million of taxpayer funds. A witch hunt. That's what we just came through. Those are the president's words, but most Americans are beginning to believe those words. I suggest that Mr. Nadler and Democrat House members go after doing the work for which they were elected. Legislation. Now, wouldn't that be a novel idea? Can you imagine how the southern border horror that we're seeing played out every day and the thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of illegals that are pouring across our border and are destroying our infrastructure? Can you imagine how that would go away if Congress would just stand up and fix the existing immigration laws? That's all they have to do. But Democrats, Gerald Nadler, his committee members, and other Democrats in the House and in the Senate, they won't open borders. Their reasoning? You get those illegal aliens in here, they'll find ways to get them legal, or at least get them the right to vote. And Democrats will demand they vote for Democrats. So this border stuff, it's all about votes. Democrats' only hope is for some mysterious piece of evidence to show up that is so egregious that the U.S. cannot in any way reconcile a sitting U.S. president committing such a travesty that they can immediately impeach Donald Trump. Now, wait a minute. They can file articles of impeachment today, right now, can't they? Absolutely. Nadler's committee, by the way, is the only committee in the House of Representatives that can draft, approve, and then send to the floor of the full House for consideration. If the president's actions are so egregious, and if there is real evidence that confirms any illegal actions, as Congressman Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell still maintain they have in their hands, why don't they just go ahead and file those articles of impeachment? Honestly, as a law-abiding American, I think they are obstructing justice by not taking legal action because of the president's wrongdoing, of which they say they have today evidence proving it. Why don't they take action? It's simple, folks. There's no there there. So what is Congress doing that really matters? Congress is really good at doing two things, and only two things, and they're doing a jam-up job right now. One, assuring their spots in Congress through massive campaign contributions to give them an extreme inside track to re-election. They're making sure they have job security at your expense. And secondly, I don't know anybody on planet Earth that is better at spending taxpayer money than the United States House of Representatives. And they're getting better and better at doing so. Well, there you go. That's the inside scoop on executive privilege, which the president is using now, trying to get legislation on track in Congress, get them to do their job, and let him do his. Thanks for being here today. Lots of stuff like this going on. And of course, there are calls for all kinds of evidence to come out about wrongdoing in the Russian collusion election. We're on top of all of it, so don't miss a day. Log in and put your email address in there to make sure you don't ever miss a story or podcast from truthnewsnet.org. Till we get together again, so long, everybody. You have a great day.
Read all about it. Hear the truth. TNN.
The Truth News Network.